I'm Marty Moscow-Wain. Welcome to Radio Times. I've heard several friends say they're worried about Thanksgiving this year, that their family is like the country, deeply partisan and divided, even angry about the presidential race and all that it has come to represent. We tend to gravitate to friends who share our views about politics, religion, and other important issues. But we don't get to pick our relatives. So some choose not to discuss things that could lead to a heated argument and stick to safer subjects. Not so for brothers Doug and David Blank. We found their Blank versus Blank blog, where they engage in vigorous debate with brotherly love, and we asked them to be our guests. David Blank is a conservative Christian. He's an ER doctor, founded a local chapter of the Tea Party in Indiana, where he lives, and he's a Donald Trump supporter. David Blank, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Also with us, as I said, his brother, Doug Blank. He's a computer scientist. He's a professor at Bryn Mawr College. He's an atheist, a liberal, and a Hillary Clinton supporter. And Doug Blank, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you, Marty.
Well, let me begin with you, David, but I'm going to go back and forth between the two of you. David, what was the genesis for this blog? What was the thinking about how to create this blog or why to create this blog?
Well, we had obviously noticed that we had different views for a long time. It actually started back in college, where we were actually roommates for a year. But it actually evolved over several years, where we kind of talked about, you know, we should find some forum where we can discuss our issues, maybe do a blog. Doug's wife had already been doing a blog. And it's like, oh, maybe we could put this together. And it was actually during a visit to his house there in Philly when we finally just sat down and said, hey, let's just put the nuts and bolts together and we'll do kind of a couple of test blogs without publishing them and just kind of see what format do we want to follow and how do we want to do it and is this something that might actually kind of work well on paper as opposed to just our kind of arguments or bickering that we had, you know, just sitting around together.
Well, let me pick up on that. And it's one thing, Doug, to have the arguments and bickering, as David just said, between each other. It's another to have a more public conversation. Also between talking to each other in the flesh and then putting your thoughts, papers, arguments on paper.
Yeah, that's right. I think we were like many people, we would get together every once in a while, David and I, and we like to discuss vigorously our differences. And
is discuss a euphemism for debate or argue?
Oh, yeah, but they were usually pretty, civil. But David and I both like to win a conversation, and these conversations would go on for hours. And eventually, I think we would oftentimes come to some kind of consensus view where we'd have to agree because we have to finish the conversation.
Do you, though, come from an argumentative family?
Oh, I don't know if I would say that. Brothers and sisters, we have a little sister as well that would love to argue with us, too. But I think our family largely is probably like a lot of Midwestern families that we don't talk about many things. They go unsaid, and especially difficult conversations get swept under the rug. But, you know, with your brother, your siblings, you can have those kind of conversations that you don't, even with your parents and especially with your uncles and cousins. And we have a very large family back in Indianapolis that everybody lives very close to each other.
David, you mentioned the fact that you and Doug were roommates in college. And, frankly, when I read that, I was surprised because generally you think of siblings not wanting to live together if given a choice. So clearly we're talking about a very close relationship here. Would that be correct?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, growing up, we lived on a dead-end street that was only a quarter mile long. And so for the most part of growing up, Doug and I were each other's playmates. And every day we'd go out and throw the Frisbee or play basketball or ride our bikes. And there were a couple of other kids in the neighborhood, but not really anybody that was specifically our age, and especially not my age. And so Doug was, really the one person that I grew up with and did everything with as a child and growing up. So from that aspect, I'd say we're really, I guess we really have some close bonds on a much, much deeper level.
Well, and Doug, it sounds like it was college. I mean, here you were roommates, but it was college where there really was a growing difference of opinion about religion.
Yeah, that's probably where the differences really started to mount up and send us in different directions. I'm David's older brother, just by 22, 23 months. So like David said, we were very close. We were best friends growing up. We played G.I. Joes and, you know, everything as two best friends would do. But when we got to college age, we had been apart for about 2 or 3 years. And so the idea of getting back together and being roommates was great for me. So we did that. And it was getting to know each other again after being apart for a little bit. But in college, we sort of had our own extracurricular activity groups. So David went with the Young Christian Athletes, and I went with the Indiana Skeptics. So two different kinds of support groups.
Was that the start, David, of if not a rift, certainly seeing your brother differently?
Yeah, that's where it all started. And I think for a lot of people, as we've done the blog now, and the number one question that Doug and I both get is, well, how did this happen? And the next question, what's wrong with your brother?
Of course. And,
my friends say the same thing.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Both of us get it, the same question, but from a different perspective. But, college is, I think, where everyone's out on their own for the first time. You make your own decisions, and you really find your view of the world. And I had become a Christian in high school, and so when I got to college, I, you know, looked for the same groups that I found strength with in high school, and that was the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and kind of put my peer group together. And Doug, as we said, he had actually moved out of the house and had gone to college part-time for a couple of years. And so when we came back, I was really excited to have him as a roommate. And overall, you know, that was a great, great time and a great, great year. But outside of our dorm room, we had a totally, totally different group of friends. We shared a lot of friends there in the dorm as well, but our perspectives took a big turn there in college.
I wonder, Doug, people say, you know, with family, don't talk about politics, don't talk about money, don't talk about religion. We haven't got to the money part yet, but there's some deep divides between you and your brother.
Yeah. We oftentimes, there are a lot of things that we do agree on, I think. I'm not sure if we could find those right now, but we oftentimes will find that we have a different perspective on just about everything. In fact, we've even talked about why we write the blog, and sometimes we don't even really agree on that.
I read that. I thought, isn't that interesting? We got two brothers who don't agree what this blog is about.
Yeah. So our differences run deep, and they run the gamut over everything. David has kids. I have kids. Our kids have definitely turned out differently. We take different approaches to that. We take different approaches to just about everything.
Do you respect your brother's opinions, Doug?
Yeah, I think respect is the right word. I mean, I definitely think he's wrong, of course, on just about everything. But I believe that
he's wrong. He's wrong about that.
I was going to get to you, David. No, hold on one second. Go ahead, Doug, and then we'll get you in there, David.
I believe that he really does believe what he says, and it's to his core 100%. We don't find a lot of places where we can really change each other's minds.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, you know, his beliefs run deep.
And David, I think that's a struggle, I think, for a lot of us. Just, you know, if you disagree with someone, can you respect the fact that they believe what they are saying? They may have a different set of facts, a different set of beliefs, but that they believe what they're saying and they are worthy of some kind of respect.
I don't think that is true unless you actually take the time to listen to what they're saying. With the blog particularly, Doug and I can kind of flesh out our arguments. And at least from my perspective, when we started the blog, it was with the idea that you can have two people that are both smart. I think Doug is the smartest guy that I know, and yet you can assemble all the information and all the data that's available and come up with completely different answers to problems. And, you know, too often we're getting into this little soundbite world.
Sure.
Where you only listen to just a sentence, and even on social media, you know, especially Twitter, where you're limited to just so many characters, you don't have time to actually flesh out the why you believe what you do. And you just get a lot of people saying, well, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, I'm right. And you're an idiot. And it devolves very, very quickly. And so the benefit that Doug and I have come up with is you can actually take a minute to back up what you're saying with some data, and if you take the time to sit back and say, well, yeah, I'd agree with Doug. My brother is absolutely wrong in everything he believes, but I can see why he believes what he believes, and so it gives me a little understanding as to, if I want to convince him that I'm right, or if we want to try and find some compromise, you have to be able to at least understand why the person believes what he does and know the details about what he believes.
And we're almost up in a break here. Doug, have you ever said something to your brother you regretted? I mean, in the heat, the passion of an argument?
Oh, probably. You mean either written or face-to-face?
Yes.
I can't think of anything in particular, but, I'm a professor, so I oftentimes overthink many things and like to go back and edit what I have written, and it takes me forever to get a paper out, like probably any professor. So, writing, that was one of my worries, actually, would I be able to write this blog in a timely way? You know, could we really do it weekly? Would I really be able to have that kind of an argument?
Without overthinking everything,
yeah.
or thinking too much almost. Let's take a very short break. We are talking with brothers Doug Blank and David Blank. We stumbled upon their blog, Blank versus Blank. These are brothers who don't agree on much, enjoy debating, arguing with each other, and they're our guests in this hour of Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to join the conversation. Also check out our hashtag, SplitPoliticsFam. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscone, talking with brothers Doug and David Blank. Doug Blank is a computer scientist. He's a professor at Bryn Mawr College just outside of Philadelphia. He's an atheist, a liberal, and a Hillary Clinton supporter. David Blank joining us by telephone, a conservative Christian. He's an ER doctor. He founded a local chapter of the Tea Party in Indiana where he lives. He's also a Donald Trump supporter. And they've been blogging about some of their differences at their blog, Blank versus Blank, and obviously talking about all of this on Radio Times. Today, you can join our conversation. We want to know if you have family members that you might disagree with, or friends or neighbors even, or even colleagues at work. 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and check out our hashtag SplitPoliticsFam. David, I did a quick little re-ID there, but I think it's really true that in many ways we pick our friends who kind of reinforce our own beliefs about the world, whether it's politics, religion, other maybe even movies, things like that. But family, we don't get to pick who's going to be in our family. Do you think that's created a problem that we live in kind of politically, maybe religiously segregated worlds?
Oh, I think so. And I think Doug and I have actually done at least one blog and maybe a couple on the science behind social media, and that social media is actually exaggerating those particular problems, where it actually, because you, if somebody says something that you don't agree with, you unfriend them and you totally eliminate their opinion or their voice from your circle of friends. And it's not like the old days where people would meet around the water cooler, and if you said something ridiculous, your friend or your coworker would say, "Well, it's not, that's not true," and they would call you on that. But now it seems like more and more people are spending so much time on Twitter or Facebook, and all of their reinforcements are just for exactly what they feel, and it just kind of cements our differences a little bit more than it did in the past, I think.
Well, I'm thinking that on social media, you rarely see, no, that's not true. You more likely see, you're an idiot. Doug, you want to jump in on that?
No, I think that's right. And it's one of the problems with having a blog that has both points of view. And no one really wants to read that because you're confronted with the other side, regardless of what side you're on. So, you know, I don't think that we're ever going to turn this into any kind of money-making scheme. I don't know if anybody would want to buy the book or, you know, read in detail this. But it takes a special kind of person to be willing to open yourself up and to listen what the other side is saying.
Do you think the presidential election has really driven a deep divide between families or people that just see politics and candidates very differently?
I don't know. And maybe since David is back with the rest of our family, he'll be able to get a better sense of this. I'm sort of out here in Philadelphia, cut off from any of our relatives. So we don't the conversations we have at Thanksgiving are often just amongst our little nuclear family. But I do think that Trump's style of discussion is very different from the, any kind of discussions we've had before, you know, sort of instead of ever apologizing to just really doubling down on the – and I fear that that kind of argument style could seep its way into families.
What do you think, David?
Yeah, I kind of wonder if it's a little bit of a chicken and egg story where – are the candidates driving that polarity, or is it really that we have the candidates that our society has now engendered because of our polarity? I kind of think, you know, a guy like Donald Trump, I'm not sure in past years he would have made it through the primaries, and yet this year, you know, that take no prisoners, scorched earth kind of strategy is what was his success through the primaries. And I think that in a soundbite world where nobody really cares to listen to the opposing view, maybe that was inevitable, that that's how it was going to end up.
I mentioned this, you know, this upcoming Thanksgiving and what families are going to do, especially when there are political and other divisions within the family. And I know for some families and even friends, I've heard say, well, we're just not going to talk about this stuff. It's just off the table. And I know for a while, Doug, and to you, David, you did this for a while where you just said, you know, we're just not going to engage on these particular issues that seem to get us pretty, I don't know, maybe riled up. I don't know if that's too strong a word. What was the result of that, Doug?
The result of?
Of saying to your brother, you know, maybe we shouldn't argue about this stuff.
Oh, I don't think we would ever say that to each other.
Okay.
But I think David and I do respects the calm of the family, and we would never have these kinds of discussions among our relatives. It would just be too uncomfortable, and it would just cause a scene. And so we would never do that.
David, do you enjoy arguing with your brother?
To a degree. Yeah, I guess I would have to say yes. It's rather than just arguing, I kind of look at the whole prospect as more like a game of chess where, you know, you're trying to pull apart his argument and kind of fill in your own to come up with a better, you know, argument for your beliefs. But like I say, a lot of the things that cause a great divide just because there's not a definitive answer to a lot of these things. Mm. You know, who's the best candidate? Well, it depends. There's a lot that goes into that. Like a lot of things in life, it just ain't that simple.
To you, though, is your goal, David, and to you, Doug, is it to win the argument? David?
To some degree, I would say yes, because, like I mentioned before, my goal when we first started the blog was, you know, you have two smart guys, and they can come up with different answers, but also to present that to the public so that if you've got people that are kind of middle of the road or you've got people that don't have an opinion one way or the other on all these different topics, you can kind of convince them or sway them or at least give them the ability to see both sides of the argument and then make their own decision as to what they believe.
And for you, Doug?
I think at the beginning I thought that I would be able to win a blog every once in a while. But after a few, we've been doing this for about a year and a half now, and every week. It's work sometimes. But I gave up on the idea of trying to win.
Because you can't beat your brother, or it just isn't a worthy goal?
Well, when you have these kinds of exchanges, who's going to decide who won? We don't have the scorecards at the end of our blogs to rate that. But I think my strategy changed maybe after about 6 months. And I guess I think a little bit like David that it might be sort of like a chess game. But rather than me trying to win it, what I'm just doing is playing. I'm playing the game, and I sort of see myself as collecting data on the issues and how David thinks. I really do want to understand David's perspective and how we could look at the same set of facts, arguably facts, but yet see them completely differently, come away with the completely opposite message. So it isn't about data and coming up with the right data, but really about the reaction and how one can really believe in their gut, even though that they're reading the same exact data. So I see it as information about how to analyze how people think, and maybe there's some good that could come out of that.
Do you think it's playing the way you guys used to play with your G.I. Joes?
I hadn't thought about that. I don't know if anything could come from watching us play games as kids. But I think in this day and age where there are think tanks really exploring, you know, how to move the needle one direction or the other, that this kind of information could come in handy.
David, the reason I ask that is just, I mean, it is a way of being with your brother. It's a way of having continuing this relationship that you had even as kids.
Well, I did not really realize until we started doing the blog that we really had kind of drifted apart. And it's like any other family member, I suppose, that moves away. And you stay in touch, but you don't stay in touch to the point where you really are part of their lives anymore. And it's easy to get caught up in other things and to kind of move away from each other. But since we started the blog, I mean, we email each other if not on a daily basis, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, and we stay in touch with each other a lot more. So not just related to the blog or blog topics, but, you know, why you're on the phone or why I'm sending this email. Hey, what else is going on? I hear you were out of town. What else are you doing? So we've actually, at least from my perspective, I think we're a lot closer now than we were before we started the blog, even though the blog is kind of an antagonistic blog.
Yeah. Which is did you want to add something?
I just would, maybe for the first time in many months, I agree with David. I think he's absolutely right. I guess I would say I do enjoy doing the blog, not necessarily for the antagonistic views that we do in public, but for the just staying in touch with each other and having a common goal like we did when we were younger.
Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. That's Doug Blank, and joining us by telephone is David Blank. They are brothers. Their blog is Blank versus Blank. We were thinking of other things you could call your blog, but we'll deal with that later on.
We had
a
big debate about that.
Yeah, I bet you did. But they do engage in vigorous debate about a whole host of issues. I should add that David Blank is a Donald Trump supporter. Doug Blank is a Hillary Clinton supporter. They also differ on things like religion and gender and other issues as well. And we invited them to join us to figure out how they do what they do. And perhaps there's some things that we could learn from them as well. 1-888-477-9499. The number to join our conversation. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and check out our hashtag SplitPoliticsFam. Let me get Kristen from Phoenixville to join our conversation. And Kristen, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm listening to this conversation and thinking about a family reunion that my family is going to have. And our dilemma is that half of the family is above the Mason-Dixon line and Clinton supporters, and the other half is south and Trump supporters. And we have this reunion coming up. We thought, fortunately, after the election, but it's getting uglier and uglier online. And we're trying to exercise so much discipline of not reacting to, you know, some of the falsehoods that are being put on social media. And it's very difficult. And as much as I am trying so hard as the rest of our family members, especially my mother, who's 82, to try and understand where they're coming from. And we think it's primarily through their religion. They're very, you know, very hardcore Christian, where most of us up in the North are liberal, Lutherans. So we're not even sure if we want to go to this reunion because we're afraid it could get ugly in person.
Well, and I wonder, Kristen, without going into great depth here, I mean, if it's possible to just say for this, at least for the sake of this reunion and perhaps your mother, to say certain things maybe are, this is not the appropriate place to be discussing the results of the 2016 election. Let me find out what our guests have to say. David, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you, Marty. And as Doug mentioned earlier, when we are together at family gatherings, we steer clear of things that are going to cause kind of a heated argument. And that's just because it's a family gathering. You're catching up with people. You're wanting to kind of see what they're up to and what they're doing. And there are so many other things to talk about than politics or even religion. And so one thing you might try is either right at the start of the reunion when you get everybody together and you say, hey, let's open things up, but here are some ground rules. You know, that politics is ugly this year, so let's try to steer clear of that. Mm-hmm. And either that or maybe come up with some games where you kind of go around and you have a list of questions to ask people, like, what are you up to? Or, you know, something to kind of divert their attention to other things rather than politics, especially this time of year. That's a time of a family reunion where it's going to be hard to avoid politics because it's on everybody's mind.
It is. Doug, any thoughts?
Yeah, that is a problem. I guess for our family, it's perhaps easier because I'm a minority and there are very few of my family members that would feel that. Although more and more the younger generation, I think, has more progressive, more liberal ideas. But like David said, we get together and we eat. So
that always helps.
We do have a family reunion coming up, and it's probably it might be the next time that I actually see David. I haven't seen him in person since we started the blog, so it'll be good to get back together. But I was thinking, I don't know what kind of games you could actually make light of a Democrat versus Republican, and you know, if you split the family up and have friendly games, but maybe that's just too risky.
You mentioned.
Other thing I'll mention as another idea. So Doug has actually done a lot of family genealogy work, and we do have a really, really large family still. But one thing that we did at our last family reunion that you might consider is just put together, a slideshow or something that goes through the years and kind of pulls things together, or have a discussion about how the family fits together and who, you know, how do these people at this table relate to these people over here, to kind of emphasize that there's a lot more in common and you have a lot more togetherness than you do things that might separate you. Kind of point out that, yeah, politics is one little thing, but look at all the other things that we have in common and all the things that have made our family great.
Well, Kristen, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Good luck at that reunion. And we're going to take another short break and get back to our conversation, talking about families that have profound disagreements on key important issues, talking with David Blank and Doug Blank. They are brothers, and they have a blog, Blank versus Blank. You can join our conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. Does this sound like your family? You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can also check us out at #SplitPoliticsFam. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Let me read some comments here. An email from Richard. I'm unconcerned about persuading anybody. I'm concerned about accomplishing legislative action. An email from Libby. I'm just going to read a portion of that. My family was conservative. I changed my views after examining both sides, searching for these values. It was clear to me that the more moral view was the view of the left. An email from Eric. Did either brother change the other brother's mind about anything? If so, what? An email from Penny. I'm a Bible-believing Christian who finds it staggering and unbelievable that professed Christians can substantiate a vote for Donald Trump. A tweet from Ruth. Do you have rules for argument? What's the hardest? That's the hardest part in my family. Picking up on Ruth's comment, Doug, let me toss this to you, but David, I want to hear from you as well. You mentioned the fact that you and your brother David can have heated arguments. What's your definition of heated? What does that sound like?
Oh, I guess, there are definitely times when we're either talking together or we're blogging that we're anxious. We get excited about this.
You get loud?
Loud, if you can type loud. We don't type in all uppercase, but maybe I hit the keys a little bit harder and think to myself, I can't believe that. So, yeah, I think there are definitely times then we get into heated topics, and some of them can't really be solved through compromise. You either have to go one direction or the other, I think. Many things can be solved by compromise, but it's just where to draw that line.
Does it get personal, David? Does it feel personal sometimes?
Not so much. If we were sitting together having an argument, sometimes, it does get a little bit, you can hear the volume and the room all of a sudden seems like it's warmer. But even when you're reading the blog, there are some times where you can almost feel just through the writing, wow, this seems really uncomfortable. You know, they're really little sniping back and forth. And I don't know if we've actually ever used the word idiot or moron, but yeah, we'll say, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen written on paper. But and there have been times where we've had a couple of weeks where we've had topics that were just really aggravating or just really somewhat heated. And then I kind of feel, you know, Doug does the same thing. All of a sudden we'll come up with a topic where it's a little lighter, mm-hmm. where we have a lot more in agreement. And it's like, okay, let's just step back for a second, take a deep breath. Let's talk about science, or let's talk about mass transit or something that is not
infrastructure,
quite,
right? Bridges?
Yeah, which, of course, we don't agree about.
Oh, you don't agree even about infrastructure?
Well, I'd say we agree more about the concept. It's the details. You know, it's always the details that, you know, you get lost in.
You know, sometimes for some people, it doesn't sound like it's true for you, David, or you, Doug, which is that if there is a disagreement and if it becomes personal, that that's a deal breaker, that that can end a relationship. It can either put that relationship on hiatus or completely sever the bond between people. Do you think the fact that you're brothers, you grew up together, you were roommates in college, that that has kept you together through some of this thick and thin?
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Yes, I hear.
I agree with you, David. I think there are definitely – well, I agree with what David was saying. In other words, there are some things that we don't talk about. So there have been some blog topics that I just don't want to do that. It's
Can
maybe,
you give us one example?
Oh.
And you don't have to talk about it, just so we know.
let's see. There have been a couple of things that – and it wasn't necessarily maybe so much the topic, but it was the way that it was framed. And I guess I just didn't want to have that conversation in the way that it was framed. I'd be glad to talk about just about anything, but when you start – when the person you're having a conversation with wants to make it about a particular – specific instance, then that is a different conversation.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that, David? And then we'll get back to our callers.
I would say that if we were not brothers, I don't know that this would work as well as it does. Because I, you know, when Doug says things, I don't take it personal, and I don't hold things that he says as like a personal attack. I just understand he's trying to make his point, and the point is different in a very, very big way. And I think that maybe that's where, as a society, we need to kind of get over it and not take things as personal attacks. Although if you spend any time on Facebook or Twitter, you get quite a few people that's their entire goal is to deride the conversation using personal attacks.
Yeah, it is, or can be certainly rough out there. Let me get, looks like Becca from Center City, Philadelphia to join our conversation. Hi, Becca, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
So I had an interaction with a very close family member this weekend over Facebook. So it's great that you're just talking about Twitter. I'm 23. I'm basically just out of college, new to the world. And I'm very liberal. I'm wearing my Hillary hat right now. And I wrote on Facebook just a post about one of our local representatives who supports Hillary, who made just a joke about the election. And I posted that, and then an uncle got very defensive and wrote very pro-Trump things out of nowhere, it seemed to me. So I'm kind of wondering how it got very personal, and I gave him very personal anecdotes. So I'm wondering how to even reconcile these not even generational divides, but relationships with close family members who you're considering, why is this person not morally similar to me?
Well, that's such an interesting question, Becca. I'm sort of at the heart of what we're talking about here. Are you close to this uncle? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I have a big family from Philadelphia, and we have a large extended family, and we're very close. He is basically my second father.
Oh, wow. So this feels this feels intense and personal. Let me see what our guests have to say. Doug, can I toss that first to you?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure that we have we're wrestling with the same kinds of things. David and I got some racist email from a family member not too long ago, and it was tough to try to deal with that. I think one thing that I avoid is I don't have those one-on-one conversations on Facebook the same kinds of family members, but I don't engage them there. I engage with David, and hopefully through that exchange, the message could come across.
You want to add to that, David? And I scribbled down here, don't do this on Facebook. Yeah. I mean, have a one-on-one conversation. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd tell Becca, you know, the election will be over in a few weeks, and this kind of back and forth that you're having with your uncle right now is one issue, and it's a temporary thing, but your relationship that you have with them is a lifelong relationship. And so don't get caught up in this one event and let that affect how you're moving forward in the world and with your relationship. This will pass. And for all the people out there who, you know, have differing opinions one way or the other, the trouble is actually not going to end with this election, because both of these candidates have record high negative numbers that extend even within their own party lines. So no matter who gets elected this time, it's still going to be kind of an ugly political climate moving forward after January and moving forward. I feel bad for whoever gets elected president this time.
Becca, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Thinking of it will pass, and Doug, I remember in the 08 election, the kind of bad feelings between Hillary Clinton supporters and Barack Obama supporters. I was a witness to a number of really heated arguments about these two candidates and what they were saying about each other, just to sort of put today's debate into some kind of context.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I have to disagree with my brother. I think whoever wins the election, things are going to get better for them. For example, say a woman was elected to be our first president. I think a lot of issues that may be subtle sexism, I think that those will be resolved. And I think a lot of people will be much more comfortable with seeing a woman in a leadership role. So I think things will get better.
You want to take that, David?
No, we can move on to another caller.
Fair enough. Let me read an email here from Nicole. David and Doug sound very much like my brother and me. My brother's very right-wing, and I'm very liberal. We get into epic Facebook battles fairly regularly. My brother and I fought over just about everything. Seems to have continued right into adulthood, only now instead of arguing who sits up in the front of the car, we fight over societal and political issues. So some things, I guess, never change. Let me get Marvin from, looks like Swarthmore, to join us. Hi, Marvin. Go ahead. You're on the air on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question has to do with, what do you count as fact? And the other question is, are there websites or other sources that you will not accept as fact? I've had a 10-year email relationship with a childhood friend of mine who's also interested, and we have a similar relationship as you brothers do in terms of our politics. Often he would send things to me, and I would review them. And I would do a lot of fact-checking, and I do a lot of research to send back large responses. What do you folks do?
It's such a great question, Marvin. I'm going to toss that first to you, David Blank. And there is an ongoing, I guess, argument about people having their own set of facts and then arguing those set of facts with each other. How do you resolve this?
Well, it depends on if you trust the source, of course. And in today's world of internet access, a lot of the information that you find may be biased one way or the other. And so, at least with Doug in my blog, he presents, facts from what he considers reliable sources, and I'll either come back and point out the flaws in that and then back it up with a differing set of facts or a different interpretation from other sources. And so we have kind of a good back and forth where we're using that. We actually did a blog on kind of scientific fact and what actually makes a fact, and or what makes science science, and had kind of a good back and forth with that because, at least in the field of medicine where I am, and I think most people in general can see this very easily, if the drug company Pfizer does a study that shows that a drug that Pfizer makes is the best drug that's ever been made, you would probably step back and say, well, yeah, but can you believe that? Mm. Because they have, money invested in the results, and they, the results may be tainted even if they had good scientists doing the study. And so it's always better to kind of have a different person do that type of study. And so, you know, when you argue what does a fact, what is a fact really, there is some discrepancy or there's some wiggle room to say, well, yeah, that's the results of that study, but there are reasons to doubt that study.
And there is this thing, Doug, called confirmation bias, where we seek out the facts that reinforce what we believe anyway.
That's right. And David and I could have good arguments on the same reliable data, so we don't have to go to alternate sources. But I will admit that there are times when David will point to what I would consider an unreliable source, and I just don't respond to that.
Let me read a couple more comments. An email from Lee. I unfriended both Facebook and Twitter because they have become cesspools of polarized opinion. This election has brought out the very nasty opinions that are not based on fact or simply simply talking points from politically polarized TV and radio stations. I'm curious, looking at the clock here, to you, Doug, what have you learned from your brother about either him or about yourself?
Well, I've learned about David that he's a very passionate person, and he really does believe in what he says. And that part has made me respect him more, because at some point in the past, I think that he was just arguing a particular point that was maybe his team's point. But I don't believe that anymore. I really do believe that he passionately understands and believes what he says.
How about for you, David?
Well, I think I would kind of mirror that same response. Like I said, I already knew that Doug was a smart guy. I've grown up with him, and even into adulthood, I've listened to the stuff he does, and I've seen the research that he does as a college professor, and it's just stunning and really amazing. But the blog has given us an ability to actually kind of understand each other a little bit better, and I really, really am so happy we're doing it, because, like I said, I get to spend a whole lot more time with my brother than we used to, and now we have a reason to stay in touch every week.
Well, we got to spend an hour with the two of you. We are very thankful. David Blank, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Oh, it was a great time.
Thanks so much. And he's an ER doctor in Indiana. Doug Blank, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Professor at Bryn Mawr College. You can check out their blog, Blank versus Blank. Also, check out our hashtag, SplitPoliticsFam. And we certainly posted some things on Facebook so we can carry on our conversation here. And now that this particular hour of Radio Times is over. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thanks so much for joining us.